Adam, thank you very much. 24 minutes past seven. As many as 450 libraries and mobile services across the country are at risk of closure, we are told. A number of councils have said that budgets are so tight that keeping libraries open would mean cutting services for vulnerable elderly people in their areas. So when money is that tight, are libraries still essential? The author Zadie Smith spoke at an event last night aimed at saving one of her local libraries in northwest London. She's also written an essay on the subject for this programme, a personal take on what her local library meant to her and why they should matter to all of us.
I grew up in a council flat decorated with books, hundreds of them. I never paused to wonder where my mother found all these books, given the tightness of money generally. I just read them. A decade later, we moved into a maisonette, where she filled the extra space with yet more books, arranged in a certain pattern. Second-hand Penguin paperbacks together, then the women's press books, then Virago. Then several shelves of open university textbooks on social work, psychotherapy, feminist theory. Busy with my own studies and oblivious the way children are, I didn't notice that my brothers and I were not the only students in that flat. By the time I did, my mother had a degree. We were reading because our parents and teachers told us to. My mother was reading for her life. About two-thirds of those books had a printed stamp on the inside cover explaining their provenance, property of Willesden Green Library. I hope I'm not incriminating my family by saying that during the mid-80s, it seemed as if the Smiths were trying to covertly move the entire contents of that library into their living room. It was a happy day when my mother spotted a sign pinned to a tree in the high road, Willesden Green Library Amnesty. The next day we filled two black bin bags with books and returned them. Just in time, I was about to start my GCSEs. I've spent a lot of time in libraries since then, but I remember the spring of 1990 as the most intense study period of my life, probably because it was the first. To choose to study with no adult looking over your shoulder and only other students for support and company, this was a new experience for me. I think it was a new experience for a lot of the kids in there. Until that spring, we'd come to the library primarily for the cafe or the cinema, or to meet various love prospects of whom our immigrant parents would not approve. Under the cover of that all-purpose immigrant parent silencing sentence, "I'm going to the library." When the exams came, we stopped goofing off. There's no point in goofing off in a library. You're acutely aware that the only person's time you're wasting is your own. We sat next to each other at the long white tables and used the library computers and did not speak. Now we were reading for our lives. Still, it's important not to overly romanticise these things. Willesden Green Library was not to be confused with the British Library. Sometimes whole shelves of books would be missing, lost, defaced or torn. Sometimes people would come in just to have a conversation while I bit my biros to pieces in frustration. Later I learnt what a monumental and sacred place a library can be. I've spent my adult life in libraries that make a local library look very small indeed, to some people clearly quite small enough to be rid of without much regret. But I know I never would have seen a single university corral if I had not grown up living 100 yards from the library in Willesden Green. Local libraries are gateways not only to other libraries, but to other lives. Of course, I can see that if you went to Eton or Harrow, like so many of the present cabinet, you might not understand the point of such lowly gateways or be able to conceive why anyone would crawl on their hands and knees for the privilege of entering one. It's always been, and always will be, very difficult to explain to people with money what it means not to have money. If education matters to you, they ask, and if libraries matter to you, well, why wouldn't you be willing to pay for them if you value them? They're the kind of people who believe value can only be measured in money, at the extreme end of which logic lays a dangerous idea that people who fail to generate a lot of money for their families cannot possibly value their families as people with money do. My own family put a very high value on education, on bookishness. Like many people without money, we relied on our public services, not as a frippery, not as a pointless addition, not as an excuse for personal stagnation, but as a necessary gateway to better opportunities. We paid our taxes in the hope that they would be used to establish shared institutions from which all might benefit equally. We understood very well that there are people who have no need of these services, who make their own private arrangements in healthcare and education and property and travel and lifestyle, and who have a private library in their own private houses. Nowadays, I also have a private library in my own private house, and a library in the university in which I teach. But once you've benefited from the use of shared institutions, you know that to abandon them when they are no longer a personal necessity is like Wile E. Coyote laying down a rope bridge between two precipices, only to blow it up once he's reached the other side, so that no one might follow. But no matter how many individuals opt out,